Good evening, everyone. It's a great opportunity for me to be asked by Pastor again to be able to share to you a message for tonight. It's still my second one, and do you still remember the last message?
Be a donkey.
Be a donkey, indeed. If you're wondering what that is, I don't think there's like a title sorted in Facebook so you can rewatch the preaching, but I'll try to look for it because I didn't actually watch the live stream for when I shared that message, but I want to look at how I did. So turn over to Psalms. Psalm, there you go. Turn over to the book of Psalm in 119, chapter 119, verse 105. Very familiar verse. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's go to the word in prayer. And Father, I pray that you bless our message tonight. Pray, O Lord, that you please open our hearts and minds as we hear your word. Father God, I pray that through this message, may we be encouraged, may we be reminded, may we be challenged, O Lord, of reading your word more and reading the Bible and being able to meditate upon your word, Father God. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was going through my Bible reading, I remember when I was taking a Bible lesson or a Bible study when I was still in the Philippines. For others who doesn't know, I came here in Canada year 2021, so it's just almost 3 years now, or 3 years that I've been here. And I grew up in a Bible-believing Baptist church there, and I wouldn't say I'm 100% or like, I don't know how to say it, but I'm not very confident that I would say to others that I have lived my life the way I wanted to be or the way God wanted me to be. And it's a great opportunity for me to share one of the lessons that remained to me was I learned when I was having Bible study in the Philippines. So there's this book that we use that was written by our Bible woman. Her name's Helen. And she wrote this book that is entitled Basics for Believers. And one of the topics there I want to share to you tonight, because that's what remained to me when I was reading, having my Bible reading, and that's what I remembered, and I wanted to share to you tonight. You must be thinking, Basics for Believers, do I really want to share that tonight? I mean, I know you can understand more than basic, but it's nice to revisit where it all came from. You know? So this book is used as a guide for teaching new believers. So when I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, that was May 10, year 2013. We started having this lesson together with one of the church elders over there. And I had this one-on-one lesson with that person, and I was going through my Bible reading. That's what touched my heart, and I felt like God told me or asked or let me felt that this is the message I want to share to you tonight. Can anyone show me how you would hold your Bible closed? With one hand.
And hold it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you raise it up? Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So what we use is our five fingers, right? Can you try lifting it up with two fingers? You think you could still hold it even though I tried to snatch it with one of my five fingers? You think you could hold on to it? Probably not, right? A message for tonight is entitled, How to Firmly Hold Your Bible. How to firmly hold your Bible, if you want to take notes. If you take just one finger or two fingers, we try to hold it with two fingers. And if you take one, two, three, or four, you wouldn't be able to hold it firmly, right? So tonight I want to share with you five important things for us in order to firmly hold the Bible. Jump to the first finger. First finger is hearing the word. Hearing the word of God. Let's go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. I'll go ahead and read it. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's one of the, I would say that's the pinky. Hearing the word of God. In this passage, Apostle Paul talks about reaching out to the people who have not heard the gospel. It says, how then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? In other words, how are people going to believe in something that they didn't even know who existed? They haven't even heard of the guy. So if I said, let's say, my twin brother Harley is coming from the Philippines and he's coming tomorrow, and would you like to meet him? Would you believe me, though, that I have a twin brother? Probably not, right? Because ever since I met you guys, I didn't say that I have a twin brother. If I've never mentioned a twin brother, why would you think that you would believe me, right? Unless you don't know me. But the point is, people would not know Jesus Christ if they've never heard of him. You would ask a random person in the streets, and hey, have you heard of Jesus Christ? They would probably say, yeah. Or yes, I've heard of him. But do you know him personally? And that's why hearing something is very influential. By hearing something, it could affect our next thoughts and actions, right? If you you heard me say that you're handsome, you're beautiful, you would think that, oh, I'm handsome. I appreciate that. It gives us confidence, right? So it could affect hearing a compliment would affect your confidence. That's how the power of hearing something is very influential to our minds and our hearts. It says here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you hear the word of God, that would be one of the first things that would influence our hearts and our minds. oh, I didn't even know God existed. I didn't even know Jesus Christ existed. And that would affect your next choices and actions. Coming to church and hearing Pastor Tim preach is one of the things that, or one way for us to hear the word. There are also other ways for us to hear the word, like through radio, your phones. When you scroll social media, you would hear preachings from other pastors. Other devices that I can use to hear the gospel, like for people who are not able to have the ability to see, they have their, I don't know what they call it, but they have their audio phones that they could hear. And that's one way for them to hear the gospel. However, it is our duty to know that what we hear is the truth. There are lots of pieces of information that can deceive us, either through social media, through news, whatever misinformation that they give us. When we hear it, we would believe it because that's what we heard. That's what they said. And through that, they can deceive us. So just from the different versions of the Bible that is all around the world, the contents of the Bible have been tampered with, changed, just to confuse and deceive those who read it. So we are very blessed that we have the King James Bible. It's, like Pastor have said, it's directly translated from the Hebrew or is it Hebrew or Greek? But yes, it's directly translated into English, and this one is, you notice that it's Old English, so it's not really some of the grammars are kind of weird to me. So we have to make sure that what we hear is actually found and written in the Bible, in the King James Bible. Because if you heard it from Quran, I don't know what Bible, I don't know what Bible you're reading, Quran or whatever. So is it enough though that we hear and listen to the preaching of the word every Sunday, every Thursday? That's only the first finger, right? Can anyone guess what's the second? Do you have a good guess? Reading. Awesome. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 17. Chapter 17, verses 18 to 20. I'll just read this here for him. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of this kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, and he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law, of this law, and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So the content of this verse is just shows us how important is it for the kings in the... Yes? Oh, sorry. Verses 18 to 20.
Chapter
17. Yes. Chapter 17, verse 18 to 20. The context here is how it is required for the kings in the Old Testament to read the Bible. So if that's the case, how much more for us? You know? I remember when I was a new Christian, I received my Bible. So this is 8 years old, you know. I received my Bible for memorizing all the books of the Bible. So I was in a junior's class that I think, and I think there's still the message, of the message here of our teacher. So I was really glad I had this Bible. Even had a, I don't know why I wrote this. I wrote my address and my contact number. Yeah, in case I leave it. And yeah, I was really glad I received this Bible. And it's been 8 years since I have this. Every night I would sit in my bed, read it. I was still in high school at that time. And when you receive your first Bible, you would, for a time, you would read it every night, sometimes every morning too. And you would pray, you would be thankful for it. But in my case, unfortunately, it didn't stay that long. I was 13 when I received my Bible, and I'm 21 now. And it doesn't look like an old, or not an older, 8-year-old Bible. Do you know why? Because it hasn't been opened that much. You see? There's no, I wouldn't call this an 8-year-old Bible. An 8-year-old Bible would have, writings all over, some folds, and there goes my bookmark. And yeah, let it not be the case for you. I regret not having to be able to read my Bible frequently, just like when I first had my Bible. And if I did, I don't think it would look this good. So that's actually one trick that you would know if Christians would read their Bibles. You would look at their Bible. That's what I actually learned when I went to a camp, a youth camp, and I would see people holding their Bibles. Oh, this one's pretty new. This is probably a new Christian. Let's turn over to Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Blessed is he that readeth. You're blessed that we have this specific Bible that we read, and you're blessed to know that what we are reading has the right content, has all the teachings, all the commandments, the events, the prophecies are in the Bible. And so we are sure that we would not be led astray with false teachings that Satan has spread throughout the world. We're also blessed that if it weren't for the Bible, we won't be able to read and know about God's love. Not only his love, but also how he showed his love through all men who lived in the face of the earth, through sending his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Because that content itself may not be present in other Bibles. So we would know if we were reading those other versions of the Bibles. It says here, "And they that hear the word of his prophecy and keep those things which are written therein." We need not only to read the word of God, but also keep it. Not like keep it in our pockets or anything. Keep it so that others wouldn't hear it, because some of the Christians actually would think that they have the right to keep it and not share the truth to others because they believe that they believe the right thing. I wouldn't want to mention specifics, but other religions does believe that one, that they have their own beliefs and they believe that it is the only right thing to do, and so they keep it to themselves. We need not only to read the Word of God, but also keep it. Like, wait, doesn't that contradict what I mentioned earlier about letting others hear the Word of God? It means that we keep it to our hearts. What do we do when we keep things in our hearts? We take it seriously, right? We act like our life depends on it. Like when your friend says that they trust you 100%, you would keep it to your heart. And when they say they trust you 100%, you keep it to your heart, and we act accordingly to that. We take it seriously. And so when the Bible says that obey your father and mother, we keep it to our heart, we obey it. That's one way to be able to show that we keep what we have read, that what we have heard. And when the Bible says rejoice in the Lord, we rejoice, we be happy. Turning over to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and 16. Just going to read it. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to remind him and warn him of evil works and temptations. He would read in the preceding verses that you would read about Christians that departs from their faith. Unfortunately, we experience those kinds of things. We see it happen. We witness it, that Christians that you know serving the Lord faithfully for how many years, and then something happens, and then one day they disappear and they have turned from God, and you would see them randomly, and from then they turn their backs against God. And so you would see that it's not new in our generation, but it also happened during the Bible times. So it's unfortunate, but not only that they departed from the faith, but some Christians would lose against seducing spirits, doctrines of evil, and misled actions. It also mentions Paul's instructions to Timothy in verse 16 on the second part there. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So Timothy was instructed not to keep the gospel to himself, but to actually read it in public. To be able to share the gospel and be a minister, as it is said in the prophecy. Apostle Paul says, like Timothy, while he waited for Paul's return, let's also earnestly read our Bible and be a witness to others while we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's one thing we can learn about Apostle Paul's message to Timothy. Now we have hearing, we go reading. Can anyone guess the third one?
Believing?
Not quite. I'll just give it to you. It's studying, the word.
It's what?
Studying. Yes, studying. So when we read the Bible, aren't we also studying it at the same time? That's what I thought when I was a new believer. But in this case, it's not. That's why we have Bible studies, prayer meetings like today. It's essential for Christians to study the Word of God and you know, just have the time for us to be able to study and to talk about what we have read. That's also why we have a question and answer. That's one thing I wanted to point out. One way that we could study the Word of God is to be able to answer our questions. And so Pastor have thought of having a Q&A for us to be able to ask questions that hopefully he could answer. And I remember also in our young group in the Philippines, you know, we call it a cell group, where we'd meet and share our Bible readings, our devotions. Also that, during choir practices or after choir practices, we had one of our members share their devotions throughout the week. They would share it, and then other member would share it the next practice, and which goes on. So that's one way for us to be able to study the Word of God. I would give you some tips in studying the Word. First thing is consistency. This is where I failed. Not proud of it. Well, consistency in reading the Bible was a commandment of God. It says in the first phrase of Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, he says. So that was a commandment of God to Moses to study the Word day and night, meaning every day. And there are just times for me personally when, you know, you get home from work and feel a little bit tired and just wanting to sleep, lay down. Or when you have something planned, maybe for a few days, going out of town for a weekend, and you're not able to read the Word of God, it's kind of like skipping your meal. Because reading the Word of God is one of the ways that we feed our spiritual self. We feed our spiritual life. We feed our spiritual life. And if we skip a Bible reading one day, that would be like skipping a meal or skipping your spiritual meal. And imagine if you were away for a few days, let's say for a week, and that you haven't heard or you haven't heard the Word, you haven't read the Word, you haven't studied the Word. Would you imagine our spiritual body would look like if you haven't spiritually ate for a week? So consistency is pretty important. Another tip would be having a systematic way of reading the Bible or studying the Bible. Having a Bible reading plan helps in keeping track of your Bible reading. That's why some of the pastor printed a yearly plan a yearly plan for us to be able to read the whole Bible for an entire year. And aside from systematic, we have another tip would be written. So when we study the Word of God, it is good that we jot down notes. You know, if we have a thought that comes into mind while hearing the Word of God, it's good to write down. Because writing down your thoughts is a helpful way for you to internalize or intake the message when you're studying the Word. And that's why taking down notes when hearing the preaching of the Word is also a very effective way for us to be able to reflect on on the message that we are listening. At the same time, if you take down notes, you can also revisit and meditate on the message and how it applies to you. Speaking of application, application is another tip for us to be able to study a word. When you learn something from Bible reading and be not able to apply it to your life, it's just like just a stock knowledge. That's what it's going to be. It's like learning something for school and not applying it to your life, or not being able to demonstrate it. It's going to just stay as a stock knowledge. We read about obeying our parents and how this is pleasing to the Lord, but then we completely ignore them and just do what we want. What use is reading the Bible if you're not able to follow what it says? Just a personal reflection for me. That's why I wrote it down. Jumping right to our last tip, the word of God should be shared, which is what I'm doing right now.
Amen.
We do not keep what we learn to ourselves, but it must be shared to everyone. That's why we have Bible studies and be able to share what we have read and bless others by sharing it. And may it be a lesson, an encouragement, a challenge or a reminder for everyone. Whatever it may be, we ought to share it and just not keep it to ourselves. And also because it is a commandment of God that we share the word of God. So we got hearing, we got reading, we got studying. Three fingers. I don't think I can able to hold the Bible with just three. Moving on to the fourth one is memorizing. Memorizing. Turning over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. This could be one of the challenges for me, or even for you. One of the challenging things to do is memorizing the word of God, especially for me because I have short-term memory, which is self-diagnosed. Because I'm really bad at names. I'm really bad at remembering things. I was working in the retirement home now there in Berwick at my place for almost 3 years. And a lot of the residents' names I still don't remember. I still don't know sometimes. And know this, I've communicated with them, I've interacted, told stories with them, but then at the end of the day, what's his name again? So memorizing the word of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, or Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2 to 3. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2 to 3. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple in thine eyes. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. When you find someone attractive and, you know, fall in love with someone, we're familiar with the saying, you are the apple of my eyes, or the apple of my eye. But it says here in the Bible, it should be the law of God. Should be the law of God that is the apple in our eyes, which means that it should be should be natural for us to be attracted and to fall in love with God's word. On the last phrase, it says, bind them upon thy fingers. Don't let it go. Hold on to it and keep it. Like I mentioned earlier, keeping the word of God, obeying the word of God, keeping it in our hearts, is one of the ways that we naturally do when we hear or when we read the word of God. So that's memorizing. I wouldn't say this is one of the my forte, because I remember when we had lessons in the Bible study back in the Philippines, memorizing is one of the ways that helped me to be able to win one of the games that we used to play. And this is when we hold our Bible like this, and the game leader would say a Bible verse, and then we would try and read it, open it and read it. But if you memorized the Bible, a verse that he said, you won't need to open your Bible and read it, right? So memorizing the scriptures is a very important way, not only to win games, but to be able to keep the word of God in our hearts. Because if we memorize the scriptures, it's like having this imaginary rule book for us to be able to help us to decide on things that we should do in our everyday life. Let's say we face a circumstance and then we don't know what to do. And then we remember the verse that we memorized just pops up in their imaginary. And that helps us to be able to choose the right thing to do when we're facing troubles, trials, temptations, and decision makings. So memorizing scriptures goes together with wisdom. We face situations that test our faith, test our knowledge, and scriptures that we have in our hearts would serve not only as an imaginary rulebook guide, but also a weapon. Knowing what God has to say in this situation or whatever situations we face, what God wants me to do whenever this thing happens, we won't be helpless if we know what God wants us to do. And that is simply by memorizing the scriptures, by recalling what we have read, what we have memorized, what we have studied. Not only that, we have other benefits, benefits in memorizing the verses. One is increasing our faith and trust in God. When we memorize, I know we all have a favorite Bible verse, and sometimes we take that Bible verse and live by it. You know, other people would make it as their principle, and so with their principle, they would increase their faith and trust in God. It also helps with our spiritual growth. So not only through hearing, not only through reading, studying, but also memorizing is one of the ways we can grow spiritually. It also helps in our Bible study. Like what I've said, you can locate verses much more easier. So if the if pastor asks, or not only ask, but sometimes he would just mention verses out of the blue from the top of his mind, and you think that he's just reading what he's written down, but actually that's the verse that he had memorized. So he would slip in those verses in whenever he's speaking, and you thought, oh, that's very wise. But it's actually what he has memorized. So it helps. Helps in meditating on the Word of God. And also the last thing, enables us to set an example. That's a very powerful way for us to be able to influence new believers. If you memorized a lot of the scriptures, and for them to be able to be inspired, be challenged as well. So we have four now. Should be enough, right? No. Let's jump on the fifth one, meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. When I first heard of this, what does it mean by meditate? Is it like what the monks do, you know? Just meditate. Ooh. That was my perception of meditating, but from my understanding, it's like the application of the four that we have just tackled: hearing, reading, studying, memorizing. Through these four things, we are able to meditate. So when the word of God, not only read or hear about it, when it enters our ears through hearing, may it be from pastor, may it be from someone else, or what we have read during devotions, we try to study it and talk about it with fellow believers, and we try to keep it in our hearts and memorize it. And when we meditate on it, we think about how we would act according to what we have learned, what you have heard, what you have studied, what you have read, and what you have memorized. Four of this goes together. Like if you take one finger out, you won't be able to meditate on the Word of God as effectively if you have all four. And one question that we can instill in our minds is, how can we apply it in our daily lives? How can we put it into action? It says in Psalms 119, verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." That's Psalms 119, verse 97. This King David, who wrote the message, who wrote the psalm, he mentioned meditating on the laws and commandments of the Lord made him wiser than his enemies. Well, the wisdom that comes from the Word of God is very powerful, that it overpowers everything that goes against it. Against people who goes against the Word of God. Meditating the Word of God gives us the wisdom that overpowers and outsmarts our enemy, which is Satan. This completes the requirements for us to be able to firmly hold our Bibles. through hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating the Word of God. We're able to use it to defend ourselves from the wickedness of the world and evil, and the evil ways of Satan, our mortal enemy. So that completes the five fingers. It's an encouragement for me to be able to reshare this again because, one, it reminds me that to be able to do these five things, even though when I don't feel like it, when we're facing circumstances that prevents us from doing it, and it empowers me to be able to read the Bible. There's just this something that whenever you read the Bible and be able to learn from it, and then talk to God about it. When you open your eyes after prayer, you just feel refreshed. You just feel like you're stronger. It feels like you've fed yourself. Just natural day, or natural way for us to live is eating, and being able to do these things is one of the ways, natural ways of us feeding our spiritual self. So I hope this message will be able to help you as well in meditating on the Word of God. Let's pray. We praise and thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Bible. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for this book, O Lord, of your laws, your commandments, that through this, O Lord, you can talk to us. Through the Bible, you can instruct us to what we should do in our everyday lives. Whenever you're facing trials and temptations, O Lord, that come into our lives, we are thankful, O Lord. We are grateful for you beside us, and being able, O Lord, to reveal to us your will and for us to be able to follow it. We thank you, Father God, for this time that we may be able to pray as well, for pray to you, Father God, for whatever is in our hearts right now. Pray, O Lord, that you bless our time together this evening. Pray all those things in Jesus' name.